The Supreme Court rules on the Affordable Care Act, and Mike Pence's reaction leads to an apology. What's it mean to Indiana? How Richard Murdoch jumped the gun on the high court ruling, what an immigration ruling means in Indiana, and Mike Pence's second jobs proposal. That, plus the departure of Larry Bird and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending June 29, 2012.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Mike Pence compared the Supreme Court finding that health care reform is constitutional to 9/11. The Republican candidate for governor later called it thoughtless and apologized. It will fall to current Governor Mitch Daniels now to decide if Indiana will establish a state health insurance exchange or leave that to the federal government. Daniels is more concerned, however, about a 2014 expansion of Medicaid that is no longer mandatory as a result of the Supreme Court decision, but may still be necessary. He says it could have a $2 billion price tag.
It'll be a big decision whether to authorize a very large expansion of Medicaid, but that's what legislators and the next governor hired to do.
Meantime, Attorney General Greg Zeller is defending his role in the Supreme Court challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Indiana is one of 26 states involved.
We used all of our own resources, all the lawyers that work every day for my office. We never paid to go to any of the hearings. We've not spent one penny of taxpayer money other than the budget we have to do our work every day.
What will be the biggest impact of the high court ruling in Indiana? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, let's begin with Mike Pence. Did he believe that the 9/11 remarks would never be repeated?
I don't think anybody in this day and age can ever believe that something won't be repeated. I mean, if there's a lesson to be learned here over and over and over again by politicians, that there are no secrets anymore, and there certainly aren't anything that you can say that won't be passed along by somebody, and this just proves that once again.
And for the audience's benefit, he made these remarks in what was a closed-door meeting of the Republican conference,
right.
But he was speaking to the entire group.
Yes, and look, clearly this is an unfortunate expression that came on the heels of a very emotional situation for him. He'd fought for 2 years against this law, and I think it was a very emotional what he said, but there are better ways to express the fact that this will have a profound impact on the freedom of Americans than saying it the way it did. But this particular health care law, the debate will go on. I don't think anything the court just did will change that as far as the politics of it in the election cycle this year. But the result, as your original question was, will be higher taxes and higher health care costs.
Well,
actually, it'll be exactly the opposite.
No,
It'll be lower health care costs because the health care, right now, people without health care coverage get health care. They don't get it efficiently. They don't get it in a preventive way. They get it after the fact, and that cost is spread over all of us. So when everybody's paying his or her fair share and accepting responsibility, costs will go down.
Well, I think it's going to take some time to figure out exactly how this plays
right.
out. In the meantime, what John Roberts did in crafting this decision was label the Affordable Care Act as a tax. And Republicans are jumping on that, and Democrats don't want to talk about it.
Look, I mean, it's no different from any other situation you've got where you've got a fee. They can opt out. They can opt out of it. They just pay a fee for it, a tax, whatever you want to call it. It's a flat amount of money. Okay, but the fact of the matter is the people who don't have health care now are getting, to this, a certain extent, not getting the kind of coverage they need, but they're getting a free ride for the coverage they get. And it's personally responsible for everybody to pay his or her fair share. But in response to your original question about Mike Pence, that rhetoric is the same rhetoric that Mike Pence has used in Washington since he's been there. He is a Tea Party darling from beginning to end. That wasn't a slip of the tongue. That was a window to his soul. And that's exactly what he believes, and that apology he gave was half-hearted at best. It was basically, sorry if anybody heard that, if anybody's offended, I hope they won't be, kind of thing. It's ridiculous.
It was pretty quick. I mean, the first reporter that came to him was given an apology, and then he did a conference call with Indiana reporters to walk us through it, although I asked him what the context of his remarks were, and he wouldn't share that. Is there lasting damage here for Mike Pence?
You can darn bet that it's going to show up time and again from the Gregg campaign or others who are working to help John become elected. I think that if that message is communicated in a way that resonates with people, if people are offended by the comparison between the two, if they can make it stick, then it could possibly hurt him. But if they can't do that, then it just fades away, and that's what will be the dynamic here.
Well, and if you're Mike Pence and you're fighting allegations by John Gregg that you're an extremist, this is the exact move you didn't want to make.
I agree with that, but I think it's a dumb thing to do. But I don't think it's going to hurt him that much with the voters that he's courting, and we don't know the context of exactly what he said. And so, you know, it's not like while we know that he said something he shouldn't have, there's no tape. Nobody can play it over and over on an ad, and so I'm not sure it has lasting power.
Yeah, well, he's admitted he said it, so it's as good as having it on tape.
Actually, in all fairness to Mike Pence, he has said that what he said was viewed as a comparison. He says that it wasn't necessarily a comparison, but he's apologizing for anybody who viewed it that way.
I've heard that kind of half-hearted apology before. I think Rush Limbaugh gave the same thing after he called that poor Georgetown student a unfortunate
But what it does is it takes the whole discussion away from the Affordable Care Act.
Well, it does, and that's a mistake. And clearly he understands that, and he shouldn't have done it, and then he feels bad about it. And, you know, I'm surprised by it because there's nobody that's more media savvy than Mike Pence is. And there is no long-lasting damage to this because it won't be repeated over and over again because there is no copy of it anywhere.
I just don't think voters, I mean, we're sitting around talking about it, but I think that people in the public yesterday were talking about the Affordable Care Act.
If that's the best they've got, take their vote.
I think they're still talking about that today.
There's a lot of buzz on the internet.
Well, there is, and whether or not that comes forward, that goes back to my previous point, but just to go a little bit further than that, it is a missed opportunity to talk about the substance of the Affordable Health Care Act from the Pence camp. Because as the governor described, there are some serious ramifications for the state of Indiana, and Pence needs to be able to be in front of that from a policy perspective because it's important for the next governor.
The governor says changes to Medicaid could cost the state $2 billion, but that's over a six-year period from 2014 to 2020.
And it also ignores the cost that's being absorbed now by hospitals and providers and taxpayers, as a matter of fact. So you need to net that out to see what happens and how much of it's prevention so that you stop spending huge amounts of money in emergency rooms. But the thing that you know, as this comes in and people realize that pre-existing conditions for adults are now going to be covered and insurance companies can't willy-nilly cancel your policy and the rates actually go down, I'm not saying that the statute's perfect. I'd like to see a single payer myself. I think that's the only system that makes sense. But having said that, this is a huge leap forward in the right direction, and hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers will be covered.
Well, still with this, Republican Senate candidate Richard Murdoch jumped the gun on the Supreme Court ruling. His campaign posted four different reactions to YouTube days in advance. Here's what happened. You can see Richard Murdoch on video expressing joy over the Supreme Court decision.
Well, we've had our brief moment of celebration because the Supreme Court ruled that Obamacare is, in fact, unconstitutional.
How about a disappointed Murdoch?
Well, the Supreme Court has done what none of us really thought could happen. They've ruled Obamacare constitutional.
But what if the court preserves some of the law and strikes down some of it?
We now know that Obamacare came down as a split decision.
Murdoch is even prepared if the Supreme Court takes a pass.
They found an answer to the health care issue, which basically led them to no decision at all.
The plan, of course, was for just one of those to be shared with the public. And, Eleni, that's prudent so long as it doesn't get to YouTube, right?
Look, prudent, I don't know, prudent, the quality is terrible. I mean, he's not
a constitutional scholar. It was an appeal to donors. It wasn't meant to be a TV ad. It's an appeal to donors.
But all it shows between that and the fact that it is on YouTube is that he isn't ready for prime time. I mean, he and Pence are both Tea Party people, so they were all prepared to come down on this. He doesn't even believe Medicare is constitutional, for crying out loud. He doesn't believe Medicare is constitutional.
He also doesn't believe that it should be eliminated.
Right.
Right.
It's okay to have an unconstitutional law now. Is that kind of like a flip and a flop once get the nomination? Jeez Louise.
Is there lasting damage here?
No. I mean, come on. I mean, are you telling me that the President of the United States didn't have an answer for every contingency that the Supreme Court was going to decide? Every major politician I know of prepares an answer for every possible contingency, except they're the only ones that got caught at it.
Right.
And so people are going to have their fun.
It's some lax staff.
I'll grant you that one. they're going to have some fun with it. But every politician does it. You can't tell me the President of the United States didn't have an answer for every possible answer.
He probably understood it a little better than
Richard
Murdoch.
Well, he couldn't have done it without a teleprompter.
Oh, I bet he could have.
Well, so in the Senate race, Murdoch had just one answer after the ruling came out, and that it's
9/11.
Instead it's the biggest tax increase in American history. Democrats are disputing that. They say that's not accurate. PolitiFact will tell you that it's not.
Well, you can fund the whole thing with your candidacy
to
president's tax cuts for the rich.
More interesting was Joe Donnelly's reaction. He wasn't available. He issued a statement, said, I'm going to work to make the bill better. I mean, the Democrats don't want to talk about this.
This is going to be a big issue in the Senate race. And it's not going to be about whether Murdoch accidentally released some of these videos. I mean, that is funny, and everybody can make fun of it for a little bit. But it's going to come down to whether voters care enough about this issue that they want to send someone to Washington to try to repeal this law, or whether, as Ann said, as the law goes into effect, they start to feel better about it and see things about it that they like.
It didn't go into effect until 2014 and 2016.
Well, some of it's already in effect.
Some of it's going into effect now.
Already. Yeah.
And frankly, it's some of the most popular parts actually go in early.
Place, covering up to 26 and children
taxes
with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
You can fund this with
taxes
Romney's proposal for tax cuts for the rich.
Businesses.
Let's give John a chance.
I don't know. Why?
Come on. Will this be one of the biggest issues in the Senate race between Donnelly and Murdoch?
Yeah, absolutely. I think absolutely will. And I agree with the analysis that Les had. I think that it will become a very clear choice between repeal and reform of the act, if you will, and making it, implementing it and seeing how it works. And I think that whoever can carry that message forward, I think there are possibilities on both sides of that issue. And I think that whoever can skillfully carry that forward will have a good shot at winning. And just because we are laughing now a little bit, but Murdoch's going to have to be a lot better at it than he has shown at this point.
Absolutely.
And the other part of this is, we started with a Republican law. I mean, this draft of this was Republican, okay? And it was recommended by Republicans from Romney on down. So it clearly has to have tinkering done to it to make it better. There's no question about that.
But the Republicans think, in terms of a political issue, that they've got the high ground now.
No question.
They won't want health care coverage for people?
I'm talking about now and market-based, not a federal tax.
It's market-based now.
Give John a chance again.
Whoever can tell the story most succinctly and best understood will win that argument.
That's exactly right. All right, time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, who made the most damaging mistake this week? Mike Pence with his 9/11 comment or Richard Murdoch with his YouTube posting? Your choices are A, Murdoch, B, Pence, or C, it's a tie. Last week's question was, will Mitch Daniels be a good fit at Purdue? 21% said yes, 74% said no. 5% said only time will tell. To take part in the poll, just go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. The Supreme Court overturned part of Arizona's illegal immigration law this week, and that's likely to bring changes in Indiana. The court struck down Arizona's requirements for employment, documentation, and the possibility of arrest for those suspected of being in the United States illegally. In the past session of the General Assembly, our legislators passed an immigration statute. Attorney General Greg Zeller, said the guidelines provided by the High Court will serve as advice for adapting a new Indiana law.
I think I can safely say that there will need to be some changes. Indiana statute is going to need to be amended to comport with these guidelines.
John Ketzenberger, will we see a new immigration debate here?
Yep. It really has never ended. I mean, it's been something that since the Arizona law was taken up by the Supreme Court, a lot of people anticipated depending on that outcome, there would be, you know, a ramification for Indiana. Indiana's law goes farther in some significant ways than Arizona's law. So I think that's what the Attorney General is talking about. And I think that the legislature, those who wanted this law, will try to find ways to make it constitutional so that they can still have the effect that they want within the guidelines passed by the court.
We've gone through several years of debate on immigration bills, and they finally got one passed, and by a lot of people who are really tired of talking about this, is there an appetite for a new debate?
No, I don't think there is. I think that the district judge will eventually strike down much of Indiana's law, and I don't think there will be much debate about new changes. I think there will be a handful of people who try to push for a new law.
You're saying that legislative leadership will say, let's wait a year or two?
I don't know that it will be a top-down thing like that. I think it might be a bottom-up thing of, we don't want to talk about it anymore. And I'm not sure that the Supreme Court left enough there that Indiana lawmakers will want to run out and try to pass a law.
Do you think the legislature takes this up or
Absolutely.
Not?
Absolutely.
They do.
I think they tinker with it to try to make it comport with the federal guidelines, their Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court basically decided that Arizona can check for the papers, or check to see if you have your papers, but decided that the federal government has a right to determine citizenship and deportation. So in essence, what they said was, you know, we're leaving this up to elections. You people elect people. You need to elect people that are going to not only pass laws, but fund them and enforce them. What they didn't do was say, what do you do if the federal government decides not to enforce the laws that they pass? And that's what the states are trying to push the federal government into doing, is to enforce the laws that are already on the books. And that's why I think you're going to continue to see Indiana legislators try to get something passed to force the federal government to do something.
Yeah, it gets us right back to where we've been all along, though, with the folks who are saying that this is a federal issue and not a state issue, and the state should leave it alone.
Right, and I don't think that that's what the court said, by the way. I don't think that the court said you can absolutely stop and look at the papers. What they said was, we have to see that you could stop and look at those papers without racial profiling. We don't know that you can do that. And that's going to be one big hurdle to get over, so the entire thing could go. This is a waste of time. I said it was a waste of time when they did it. And, you know, maybe Zeller doesn't have anything to do in the Attorney General's office but tilt at particular windmills. There are no constitutional scholars in the General Assembly. That's obvious.
Well, I mean, to be fair to Greg Zeller, I mean, the legislature passed a law.
It's his job to defend the law that got passed.
He's got to defend it, and he actually hasn't been all that particularly aggressive about this one.
Well, he intervened in the health care debate and used the resources.
It won a 26
states. But on the immigration, I'm just saying that he...
All right, on the immigration.
And by the way, the Supreme decided the part they were arguing was true, that this was not based on the Commerce Clause.
Yeah. Well,
So what?
That's the argument they made.
So you want to put a target... You want to put a target on Greg Zeller at this point? Are the Democrats?
I don't want to put a target on Greg Zeller. I'm just sick. I can't believe that the Attorney General's office has so little to do, that there are so few problems in the state of Indiana that they can go out and try to score political points. That's what bothers me about.
The governor directed him to challenge the health care law.
Did the governor elect him?
Well,
okay, he's not big enough to stand up and say
he's
no.
He's the governor's attorney, isn't he?
He's encouraged by the United States Senator.
He's the state of Indiana's attorney. And there's a big difference. That's why the governor
Senator
has his
Lugar
own counsel.
Senator Lugar encouraged Greg Zeller to get involved in this case.
And I guess he can't make up his own mind, so he'll
well,
just do whatever
he
he's told.
That's why yeah. I guess it's back to you want to put a target
on
him.
I want him to stop wasting state resources for political motives.
On some of the, you want him to stop wasting state resources on some of the biggest questions of our time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, these are pretty big questions.
Because you know
I mean,
what?
They're pretty big
he's
issues.
He's not in the. I wonder whether the Supreme Court even read. What the Attorney General of the state
think,
of Indiana
said. I think if nothing else, if nothing else, Greg Zeller's profile has been raised here.
Absolutely. He's done a good job.
Has he got lips now? Is that what you're saying?
Wow.
Moving on. Mike Pence made his second jobs proposal this week.
Took his campaign to Northeast Indiana, where, surrounded by small business owners, he promised to cut state regulations.
In 2011, the state of Indiana adopted 292 new regulations. That's one new regulation for every workday of every week of the year.
The cost of those regulations, he said, prevents new hiring.
There's three different hoops you have to jump through. Do we ask our employees to work harder? Do we not give raises?
He's making me defend our governor.
Reached by phone in Northwest Indiana, Democrat John Gregg tried to make the Pence proposal sound like criticism of the current Republican governor, Mitch Daniels.
All he's doing, Jim, he's just trying to hide his 12-year record of social issues. He's not tried to lessen any regulations the whole time he's been in D.C.
Leslie Weidenbender, is Mike Pence's proposal criticism of Mitch Daniels?
It did sound like it. I mean, part of the reason that it sounded like it is because in the press release, they emphasized how many regulations had been put in place in the last 4 years. So, I mean, I have to admit that when I read it, I sort of read it that way, too. But, I mean, ultimately, that's not what's going to stand up about this. He's trying to energize the business community to give him money and to support him and get out and work for him. And there's no issue they get more excited about than this.
Although it struck me, he cited as examples of unnecessary licensing interior designers and massage therapists. And I've watched debates on licensing for those people.
They want
those. And the people who are in that business want licensing to get the folks who aren't reputable out of the business.
I think that you'll find that in many cases with many of these licensed professions because it does provide that kind of enforcement against people who are unscrupulous or acting in a bad way, but it also gives credibility to those who are licensed to do whatever the work is. And so I think while you talk about eliminating these things, you might find that a lot of people who are in those professions want them regulated.
Yeah, you remember the cosmetology debate
Absolutely.
Earlier this year? The hairdressers went nuts.
Yeah.
And they tried to eliminate their licenses.
That's right. I mean, but it's hard to get people other than hairdressers maybe excited about, people aren't going to fight back on an elimination of regulations.
Well, it depends on what the regulations are. I mean, I really thought the regulations on the outside stages, for example, were long overdue. And what about cigarette smoking? And what about the bath salts kids are using to get high? We're going to get rid of those too? I mean, he obviously hasn't spent a lot of time here because he doesn't know what Mitch Daniels has been doing for the last 8 years and that some of these are actually necessary. And, you know, he ought to get a little bit more familiar with Indiana.
Strikes me that one thing he's trying to do is come out with proposals that could lead to new jobs that don't cost anything.
I think you hit it on the head. He's trying to come out with proposals that lead to new jobs. If you've got proposals that are going to cost jobs or are going to keep people from expanding small businesses because of regulations, that's what you don't want. And all he's done here is ask for the Office of Management and Budget to review these regulations to make sure that there are no rules that are affecting small business that's going to keep a business from bringing on new people in any way, shape, or form. And that's worth doing, and that's worth doing across the board. And as far as somebody saying, well, he's criticizing Governor Daniels, I mean, one, he's using OMB, which was created by Mitch Daniels in 2005, to do the research to find out whether these have an effect. And two, if he sets himself apart, he's got to do things his way. He can't do things the same way.
Is he in a bit of a box where he can't criticize Mitch Daniels
because of how
popular he is, and he's got to find a way to convince people that he can do better?
He's got to go out and be his own person and do things his own way. I think he should step out. I think they should step out every chance they can take to get, make sure that, that he is not trying to be Mitch Daniels, that he's going to be himself.
Well, he obviously is criticizing Mitch Daniels. There's no question about it, because what he's saying is that the things that he implemented,
he wants to bring jobs to the program.
Well, he could have vetoed them.
Finally, Larry Bird made a surprise announcement this week. He's leaving the Indiana Pacers. The team president says he wants to take a year off and get healthy before he evaluates his situation. He has longstanding back issues and potential shoulder surgery facing him. He's the only man in the NBA to win Executive of the Year, Coach of the Year, and Player of the Year honors. Mike McDaniel, will Bird come back to the Pacers?
I think that door's been left open. I mean, you'd have back issues, too, if you had Ron Artest on your back. But Larry Bird's done a great job of turning this team around to where they're fun to watch. They play together. People like the players. This is a dramatic turnaround. He's going to be missed.
And they drafted Miles Plumlee.
Who's a Warsaw kid.
Is that that's a good move?
Another Foster-like player that'll work hard.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.